Let's turn to Galatians, the sixth chapter. And for the remaining time, I want to talk to you about bearing one another's burdens. And this is the 10th one anothering that we have looked at in the New Testament in this series that I started a while back on the one anothers of the New Testament. Remember, Jesus said to love one another as I have loved you. Now, what does that mean? Well, we've seen it means to seek peace with one another, wash feet with one another, be kindly affectionate with brotherly love towards one another, and honor, value, or prefer one another. Do not owe love to one another. Pay that debt of love to one another. In Christian liberty, interact with one another. Be like-minded towards one another. Receive one another. Admonish one another. And today, bear the burdens of one another. Let's read in Galatians 6, and we want to catch verses 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And can there be any doubt that that phrase is connected to what Jesus said? Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul in the previous chapter very specifically says the same thing. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, this could appear to be a contradiction in the Word of God. Just always remember, if you think you come to a contradiction in the Word of God, the contradiction is simply in your mind and in your understanding. This is not a contradiction, and we want to understand exactly what bearing one another's burden means when he says, for every man shall bear his own burden. So let's think about this. Notice that this is the law of Christ, where he says, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is to lift burdens off of one another. Is that not the opposite of the Pharisees? They were constantly putting burdens on people. Jesus said, woe to the Pharisees, for they put these heavy burdens and difficult burdens to bear. They're impossible to bear. Think about that. The law of Christ was to lift the burden. I submit to you that a great portion of modern religion is to put burdens upon people. You need to get this done. You need to make your salvation happen. Those are the burdens of the Pharisees. I'm not saying that everybody that says that is a Pharisee. There's many of God's children out there that are misled and misunderstand what the teachings of the Word of God because of the contradictions in their minds, because mainly from what they've been mistaught. And I've been ministering to people and teaching the truth for a number of years, almost 30 years, and I have found that it is more difficult to unteach someone than it is to teach them the truth. I've had children of God that I've been blessed to teach the truth that never really had other type of teaching, and they were very easy, relatively easy to teach the truth. But then I've had children of God, more often than not, I've had children of God who had been mistaught, and there was a lot of untangling that had to take place. Well, what about this verse? What about that verse? What about this? It seems to contradict. And we would do all of this untangling process and then get on the level playing field of being able to teach the truth once the untangling. I submit to you that you really can't learn the truth until your mind is untangled from misteaching, from burdens that are grievous to be borne that have been put upon God's children. Christ's law is not to impose more burden on the child of God. But it's appropriate to have certain burdens on us, and that's what this takes up here. That's interesting to understand the difference between bear ye one another's burdens and where he says every man shall bear his own burden. The definition of the two burdens there are different. The first one, bear ye one another's burdens, is the Greek word baros, which means heaviness, weight, or trouble, with the idea of John 19 and 17, where Christ was bearing the cross and going down. Okay, it's a burden that someone cannot bear by themselves. When a load is about to press a person down, then you give them help carrying that load. And to bear the burden here is to help put the burden upon yourself or another person, you know, more than one bearing the burden. This is a very simple example, but very often on the first, third, and sometimes the fifth Sunday, we will see a sister or sometimes a brother coming in with a burden. Some of the burdens they try to carry, they're like me. They do a heavy man's load. I'm afraid they're going to spill the food. It's a great idea, young men, even young sisters, if you can help, to go and help that, especially if they're an older person, bear their burden of bringing in the load of food. I mean, that's a simplistic way to look at it. If you see somebody, you know, carrying it and balancing it, trying to get in, can't open the door, that's the image of there's too much of a load there. Go and help them bear that burden, because we don't want them to... We don't want them to hurt themselves, but we sure don't want them to spill the food, right? So that's a simple way to see an overload where somebody needs help bearing the burden. Now, the second word where he says, every man shall bear his own burden, it is the Greek word, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, but phorteion, which is the definition of the freight of a ship or a load. This is the same word used in Luke 11 and 30 where Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. My load is light. I like what one of the commentators said about the two different words. The word here where he speaks of bear your own burden, phorteion, it was commonly used as a word for a backpack. And you students I know are very familiar with the backpack where you put your books in, you carry it on. It's certainly easier. I come from a time before backpacks were really in. I can remember carrying a bunch of books to class, and I didn't have anything to put them in, and it was hard to carry all of that stuff. But when you put them in a backpack, you can carry that load. So one of the differences between the two words is the backpack was something that enabled you to bear that burden. Y'all see that? And then the other word was a heavy burden. Those that are more than a man or a person should carry, a man or a woman should carry. So on one hand, he says, help bear those things that are too much for one person to carry on one hand by bearing and carrying your backpack. You see that? We're going to talk some more about that. But that's the difference in the two words at least. So bearing one another's burdens by bearing your own burden. Bearing one another's crushing load by bearing your own load in your backpack. This is not a contradiction, as I said. Notice the language. I'm going to read this again now that you got the two definitions. Bear ye one another's burdens, crushing loads that one is not able to bear, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, so that he will be able to help bear the crushing loads of others. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own backpack of burden. Does that make sense? It has to do with sympathy. If you keep in mind what you are bearing in your backpack of burdens, then it's a lot easier to identify when you see someone under the crushing load. It's also one of those deals where you say, I've been there. Here's a crushing load that has maybe come upon a person because of their sin. And our temptation would be to scoff and go, uh-huh, yeah, they got what they deserve. They did that. But if you've been there, if you see through your backpack of sin that you bear and that you regret, like Brother Luke was talking about here this morning, we all have things that we regret. Let's minimize our regret, please. But when you keep that in perspective, well, I've been there. You know, I've suffered under crushing loads myself for things I've done, for the things that happen in life. And so that way I can help that brother or that sister bear that crushing load. So it has to do with looking to your own backpack of burden, bearing your own load. I've been there. For some reason, this made me think of weightlifting. And I've been trying, I know I don't look like it, but I've been trying to do weightlifting since I was, you know, 13 or 14 years old playing sports. And I remember there was this coach that we had. He was a defensive line coach in college at Samford. His name was Coach Stroud, and he had played nose guard for Florida State under Coach Bobby Bowden many, many years ago. They had a really good team, and he was a pretty small guy, not very tall, but he was stout. He was very strong. And I remember him coming into the workout area one day with all the big most of the people he coached on the defensive line were much bigger and taller and larger and seemed to be stronger than him. But he was still in his 30s. He was still ripped, as they say. And so one of the guys was there power cleaning. And you weightlifters know what a power clean is, where you push your legs and lift it up and get it up here. And so they had 225, 245 pound plates on both sides, and we were all standing there trying to be tough and do our thing. And I was not with the defensive linemen by any means. I was over there with the skinny receivers. And so Coach Stroud walks in, and I don't know if he was mad or just pumped up, had a rush of adrenaline going. He walked in and he walked over to that 225 pounds, and he reached down with one hand and grabbed it in the middle, and he power cleaned it with one hand and brought it up here, and he looked around, and he goes, whack, boom, and everybody goes, hmm. That was impressive. I've never forgotten that. And for me, it was inspiring. Even those huge defensive linemen, they couldn't do that. And I remember looking at that and going, maybe one day, that'll be me. Never was, never will be. But it was inspiring to see that man bear that heavy load. It was astonishing. Power clean, 225 pounds with one hand. And he just walked out. No, and everybody just looked at each other and went back to feeling sorry for ourselves. It was inspiring. It's inspiring to others when you bear your own burden, your own backpack of sin, and your own backpack of what you carry. And it involves not thinking too highly of ourselves. Notice the mentality. He says, bear one another's burdens, but you can't bear one another's burdens if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. So this is self-examination. So you can say, I've been there. I see what you're going through. I see the crushing load. So you see how your own load, your own backpack of sin and trouble that you've been through or things that you've had to bear, and you don't compare yourself with the crushing load of another. Yeah, boy, that's not me. That person got what they deserve. Galatians 6 and 3, if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, then he deceiveth himself. Notice that. If you think yourself to be something when you are nothing, it's very difficult to think sympathetically towards others. Now, interesting in the kingdom of God, if you think that you are something, then God views you as nothing. But if you think that you're nothing, then God views you as something. You see how things are opposite in the kingdom of God. And we deceive ourselves if we think we are something. Now look, it doesn't mean to go around saying, oh, woe is me. It means to look at yourself and your load that you carry, and in your nature without God, we are nothing. See? But because God has given us grace and he's saved us and he's called us with a holy calling, we are something because of his work. That's very important. It's not about the sinner, it's about the Savior. And we are something because the righteousness of Christ's work and Christ himself has been imposed upon us. And so we can bear one another's burdens, crushing loads, because we see who we really are, and without God, we're nothing. So you're something with the Lord, but in your nature, you're nothing. So let's not think of ourselves too highly. Proverbs 14 and 14 says, a good man shall be satisfied from himself, not dependent on the applause of others for happiness, but in the evidence of the favor of God. See, that's where you find satisfaction within yourself. By the way, remember this, when the Lord borns you again, gives you life in your heart, in the heart of a child of God, there's a piece of God within you. You say, well, I can't find any satisfaction within my natural self. Amen. I can't either. But there is Christ in you, as Paul said in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ trying to get in you, not Christ begging and pleading, if you just will, sinner friend, get willing. No, it's Christ in you. He's already there. So if there's no good quality at all about you, you have at least one, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I loved what this commentator said. The source of his joys will be within, and not be dependent on favors of a capricious multitude and on the breath of popular applause. And that was written a long time ago before Facebook or Instagram or a million followers for this person or 10 million followers for that person came along. How many of God's children are seeking validation and favor from the capricious multitude? You don't want validation and favor from the capricious multitude or from the breath of popular applause or how many followers you have. You want validation from Christ within you, which is the hope of glory. That out there is the hope of popularity, the hope of fame, the hope of money coming in if people get enough followers. You say, well, it's really people, they really desire the attention, right? No, they desire the money that they get from having so many followers. Y'all understand that? Followers equate to money. The love of money is the root of all evil. You see that? You don't want that kind of validation. A good man, a godly woman, a godly child has their validation from within, not from how many friends they have or how many followers they have. Oh my goodness, if we can keep that in our minds, it helps us to be able to minister to the crushing load. You know anybody that's under that crushing load of seeking validation from places that won't ever bring validation? If you have joy from within, peace from within, happiness from within because of Christ in you, you can minister to that person and help them with their crushing load. Okay? You see, self-conceit. Don't be self-conceited. Self-conceit is self-deceit. Did you know that? If you have self-conceit and pride, you are self-deceived. Pride prevents us from bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. Pride keeps us from ministering. Listen to this. Pride is self-focus. Pride doesn't necessarily say, well, I'm better than you, although it does say that at times. Pride can simply say, I'm more important than you. You get that? But biblical humility says, I am no more important than you are. Let me care about your burdens and your needs. Let me help you bear your crushing load. That's the opposite of the world today, isn't it? It's all about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. It's all about me. And pride is all about me. Maybe I'm not saying I'm better than you, but maybe I'm saying I'm more important than you. Your needs are not as important to me as my needs are. Is that not why the Lord understands that kind of thing? And that's why he says to love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't say, you know, quit loving yourself. It's impossible. It's impossible to quit loving yourself. But take the measure, sometimes over the top measure, of how we love ourselves and just apply a little bit of that or a lot of that to loving your neighbor. How do you love yourself? How do you take care of yourself? And don't say, well, I'm more important than you. Aren't you? You say, well, I need an ultimate example of that. Well, here it comes. Are you ready for it? Christ sitting on the throne, bearing the crown of the worlds that he has created. He's sitting on the throne bearing those crowns, and he took that crown off and set it aside and came down to this earth in the form of flesh, setting all of that aside. That's the ultimate example of him, of one who had within himself had no need to say, I need to do this. He chose to do that. He opted to do that. It was in his purpose to do that, not because he had some missing need, but because he is merciful. So you want the ultimate example of saying, I am not more important than you. Christ said, I am not more important than you. So he came down. And look at what he accomplished when he came down. We wouldn't be here today worshiping him if he hadn't done that. Biblical humility says, I am no more important than you. Let me care about your burdens and your needs. Galatians 6 and verse 4 says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. This is Matthew 7, okay? This is a restatement of Matthew 7, where he says, judge not that you be not judged, and with what judgment you judge, it shall be judged, measured unto you again. What measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Proper judgment starts with self-examination, self-judgment. You see, it is not spiritual. It's not proper judgment to rejoice in yourself that you're better than someone else. That's not proper spiritual judgment. And it is not proper spiritual judgment to rejoice in yourself when someone else is overtaken in a fault. Yeah, you know, they got what they deserved. That's just part of reaping what they sowed. But it is spiritual to rejoice in yourself when your activity, your way of life, your walk lines up with God's pleasure.
That's what he's talking about right there. He says, let every man prove his own work. Stop looking at the works of others and say, well, how did they get in that position? What did they do to put themselves under that crushing load? A lot of times you don't do anything to get under a crushing load. It's just the way that the world is since the days of Adam, the fall in the Garden of Eden. There's crushing loads everywhere. The crushing load of sin, the crushing load of trouble, the crushing load of bad decision making. That goes all the way back to the garden. And let every man prove his own work. Look at your own work. Look at your own backpack that you're carrying. And then shall he rejoicing, have rejoicing in himself alone. You remember the proverb? The proverb says that a good man shall be satisfied from himself. If you find from examining your own work that you have rejoicing, that there's approval from God in the way that you're walking, then you're in a position to be able to help bear the crushing loads of others. But if you look at your own backpack and you say, oh my goodness, I've got some things in this backpack, that some heavy books that are really weighing me down, and you need to get rid of some of them. He said, how do you do that? Repent. Turn from it. Put it away. Change the habit. Go in a different direction. Interact with different people. There's so many wonderful, glorious spiritual avenues there for the child of God who is under a crushing load of their own backpack of sin. You want to get to that place of rejoicing. There's always going to be some level of regret. I'm a sinner. I've disappointed the Lord. I shouldn't have done this. I made the mistake. Yes, but there is recovery from that. Here's the interesting thing. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. If you live under that crushing mentality, oh, I've just failed and I failed. That backpack just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. More books in it until you can't walk. It becomes a crushing load. But if you live in the liberty of Christ having paid for that sin, and don't just stop right there, but engage in ministry to others, that's therapy for the child of God. Commit thy works to the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. The more you engage in examining yourself, seeing about your own little backpack, and you look to the Lord, seeing that He has forgiven you and paid for your sins on the cross, and engage in ministry, whatever that may look like, that helps the mind. It helps the heart. Think about it this way. You go to visit somebody that's in really bad shape. I've done this many times, and you've done this, I'm sure, many times. And then you wind up being lifted up by their presence, by what they said to you. That is a small example of a way that you go and you think it's going to be sad, this is going to be bad, and the next thing you know, that person is rejoicing or singing hymns, walking around the house, or you go and you see them and they lift you up. And all of a sudden, you're not in that mental funk anymore. You're not in that downcast state anymore because you've been lifted up. How? If you had never gone, you would never know. If you never minister, you'll never know. That's a challenge, by the way. I challenge you in those areas. All right, take it one step further. Isaiah 53, in verse 4, it says of Jesus, surely he hath borne our iniquities. We always come back to the Lord, don't we? It's the law of Christ. He didn't just throw a law out there and say, here's my law, follow it. He lived that law. Y'all understand that? Is there anything that Christ, you understand Christ did not have his little backpack of care. He did not have a backpack to look at and go, man, I've really failed. He had never failed, never done anything wrong, but he bore the crushing weight of your sin in spite of the fact that he had nothing on him. He had no burden. In heaven, in immortal glory, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he didn't have any problems. There's no problems in heaven. And yet he comes down here with no backpack and he begins to take on the crushing load of the sins of the elect of God, the chosen of God. And he paid for every single one. That's joy right there. So you can look past your little backpack of sins. And I'm not minimizing it now, but I'm just going with what the definitions are. Every man bears his own backpack so that he can help bear the crushing loads of others. I'm not minimizing it because it's real. The guilt, the regret, those things are real. But the only way to process them is through Christ bearing the crushing load. He bore my burdens. He bore my sins. All right, as we close our thoughts here today,
Think about our verses again. Bear ye one another's burden. Bear ye one another's crushing load, and so fulfill the law of Christ. How do I do that? It involves a general sympathy, but it also can involve an active sympathy where we help someone bear a crushing load. But we cannot do it if we think of ourselves to be something when we are nothing. If we examine our own work, our own load, our own backpack, and then we will have rejoicing in another. You know, I wondered where, this made me think of that song. I think it was from, I know it was a Neil Diamond song maybe in 1970, and it was somebody else who wrote it in 1969. But it's, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother," you know. Well, I wondered about the origin of that, so I looked up a little bit about it, and it seems to have come from a little Scottish girl who was seen walking down the street or somewhere. It's a little bitty tiny girl, 5 or 6 years old, years and years, and, you know, 100 years ago, 200 now probably, and she was carrying her little brother, who was about as big as she was at 4 or 5 years old, and he's a little baby, and somebody says to her, "Hey, he's heavy." And she says, "Uh-uh, he's not heavy, he's my brother." I don't know if the little girl understood what was being said there, but his name was not Heavy. That was her brother, you know. That's where it seems that origin comes from. A little child carrying a little baby who was also a child. So if we examine our own backpacks, if we look at our own backpack of burden, then we are able to bear the crushing loads of others. I like what this commentator said, "If I esteem you above me and you esteem me above you, a marvelous thing happens. We have a community where everyone is looked up to and no one is looked down on." That's good, isn't it? If I esteem you above me and you esteem me above you, then we have a community where everyone is looked up to and no one is looked down on. And my goal as your pastor, is to help you bear the crushing burdens of life, because there are many. I do not want to impose anything upon you, whether it's something from a financial, "You need to do this," or especially if it's from a salvation end. You will never hear me say, "Now you need to do thus and such in order to make it to heaven," because the Word of God doesn't say that. The Word of God doesn't teach that. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, "I bear the burden," and I want to mimic or model what Jesus said. I want to take burdens off of you. How many times have you ever gone out to, I'm not many places around here do we get to observe sheep, but there are a couple places. But you don't go out to the sheepfold and see a shepherd crushing down their sheep with burdens. They want those sheep to be healthy and grow and be light in their burdens and eat and produce wool and be productive. I don't want to put anything on you. I want to help you bear crushing burdens. That's what we ought to expect out of the ministry. And it's also what we ought to expect out of each other. Keep your eyes on your backpack. What's in your backpack? Is it too heavy? Then lighten the load so that you can reach down and help someone under a crushing burden. I hope that's been profitable. I hope that's helpful to us. And I hope the one anotherings are something that we can really sink our teeth into as children of God.